God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you.
Okay, let's spend a little bit more time thinking perhaps a bit more seriously about God's promises. Okay, God's promises. We've already talked about promises, and we know that sometimes we find it quite hard to keep our promises. And we've already seen a lot of promises on the screen there that we've just worked through ourselves. And maybe there's something there that you want to remember and take away with you. But we also have made a lot of promises, and people have made promises during the baptism service. And we've referred to God's promises as well. And we talked to the God who keeps his promises forever. So, I just got three things I want to tell you about God's promises. There are loads more that I could say, but there are only three that I want to pick out this morning for us to think about. And the first one is to say that God's promises are life-giving. God's promises are promises to give you and me life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says this, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And that's actually what we've been talking about in baptism this morning. Those two wee girls are now part of a family which Paul describes as a new creation. God's promises are life-giving. And God wants us to have the life that he has planned for us. He wants us to have a full and fruitful life. And that's, of course, why he sent Jesus to die. Because the sin that we grow up with locks us into darkness. And it locks us into death. But Jesus has promised to give us new life. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. I promise that, says God. If we ask him to, if we allow him to, and if we trust him to. You know, it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, God speaking, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, and hears the promise, I will come in. So God promises us new life. And as we said, in baptism, we talk about being called from darkness into light. We acknowledge in the baptism service, we've just done it, that inviting God into our lives moves us from darkness to live in the light that Jesus gives. And Jesus describes that himself in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says this, I came so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. And that's a promise. With Jesus in your life, with Jesus giving you life, he's promising that we will have more life than we have ever dreamed of. And in the baptism service, there are promises made, not just by God, but by us, by the family, promising that we will all play a part in helping those two wee girls to discover that new life that comes when we decide to follow Jesus. And so many of us have got that new life, and remember that that is based on a promise. We said in the baptism service, didn't we? Faith is the gift of God to his people in baptism. The Lord is adding to our number those whom he is calling. And then we were asked, and all of us made this promise. People of God, will you welcome? And then you named them. I won't even attempt to remember their names because at my age, I can't even remember what we were doing 10 minutes ago. And uphold them in their new life in Christ. And we said together, with the help of God, we will. We made a promise to help those wee girls to live that life, to grasp that life that God has promised them. So, God's promises are life-giving. More than that, God's promises are life-lasting. God's promises are permanent. They're forever. You know, when we make promises, sometimes we break them. How easy is it for us to forget promises that we've made? You only have to look at the way in which society breaks down, families break down, to realize that people in their own strength have a tough job keeping their promises. And that, underlies so much of what's wrong with our society. We say one thing and then we forget it. We do something else. But not so with God. Not so with God at all. If you've come across a promise in the Bible that God has made to you, or you've heard something from God that someone has shared with you and God has spoken to you, and you treat that as a promise, maybe when you were praying, something popped into your mind that was from the Bible, or something that you think, that was God saying that to me. You know, if God has made a promise, then his promises are life-lasting. So hold on to that. His promises can be completely trusted. His promises are there for us to hold on to. Sometimes, you know, when life gets rubbish, that's all we've got to hold on to. Life is tough sometimes. I profess to know absolutely nothing about running. You could have laughed more quietly, Anushka. I know nothing about running, as you can tell. But I'm guessing that comparing the Christian life to a race, because it gets tough when you're running, especially if you're running a marathon, and to be able to reach out and know that there's something you can hold on to, just like a runner can reach out and grasp that glass of water that rehydrates them and gives them another bit of energy to carry on. Sometimes the Christian life is like that. You need to remember, and I need to remember, that when life is rubbish, God's promises are not rubbish. God's promises are everlasting. They are life-lasting. God's dependable, unbreakable promises are what Christians live by. Because without God's promises, we're actually just a rather sad bunch of people who are conning ourselves. And Paul picked that idea up when he was writing to the Corinthians in chapter 14 of the first letter to the Corinthians, when he was talking about Jesus being raised from the dead, just like God had promised. Just like God had promised, his son would be raised from the dead. And Paul points out that if that wasn't true, if that didn't happen, what a sad bunch of people we are. Because we're giving our time for something that was a broken promise. But God did raise Jesus from the dead. God did keep his promise, and God always keeps his promises. God's promises are everlasting. And when things are difficult, you and I need to hold on to that. But thirdly, God's promises are life-shaping. God's promises are what give meaning to our lives. God's promises are what gives purpose to our lives. They're what gives structure to our lives. It's a very simple illustration, but who likes ice cream? Yeah, there's a surprise. On Thursday afternoon, Priscilla and I took two of our granddaughters to Wicksteed Park. Fine. One of them's in a pushchair, so no problem there. The other one, after about 10 minutes, Annabelle said, "You carry me, Grandpa." Now, if you've been to Wicksteed Park, you know it slopes downhill. And you know if you go into the train, you're going to have to come back up from the train and all that. And Grandpa doesn't do carrying 3-year-old girls. So Grandpa came up with an idea. Grandpa said, "If you walk, I promise you..." You know where I'm going with this, don't you? "If you walk, I promise you, you'll have an ice cream." Now, she knows that I'm a soft touch. She knows that I will keep my promise. But actually, that shaped the whole of the rest of the afternoon, because she trusted that promise. And she didn't once again ask to walk, to be carried, sorry. She didn't once again... Yeah, but you see what I mean? If we trust in God's promises, that can shape our lives in a much more complex, much more meaningful way than just having an afternoon at Wiki's. If you trust the person who's made the promise, you will go with what they say. You will do certain things and not do certain other things. You will allow those promises to shape your life. Get into God's promises, folks, because that can shape our lives. That's how it is for us. We trust God. And so we find that he shapes our lives. He molds our lives. He gives our lives structure and purpose. He gives the building of our lives. He puts it together piece by piece. And the more we're prepared to trust him, the more we're prepared to allow him to state his promises and us live according to those promises, the more creative he can be with our lives as individuals. And, dare I say it, with us as a church as well. The more we are prepared to trust God's promises, the more he can do with us. Of course, she got her ice cream. The person that God wants you to be and me to be takes shape when we live like we trust his promises. You see, if God has said he will never leave me, then he won't. And so I shouldn't doubt him. If God has said he will make sure all my needs are met, then he will. And I don't have to get stressed about giving. If God has said that my sins are forgiven, then they are. And I don't have to live with guilt. If God has said that I have eternal life in Jesus, then I do. And I don't need to try to impress him with my good deeds and all my struggles, which are doomed to failure. And so I could go on. If God has made a promise, then trust him and allow that promise to shape your life. Look for ways in which your life can be affected and shaped and changed and molded, empowered by God's promises. Because that was what Abraham did. Anushka's reading from Abraham. You know, God promised Abraham that he would be a blessing. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. God promised Abraham. Now, Abraham had a bit of a hard time, and his wife had a bit of a hard time accepting that promise, but they did. And it shaped their lives. It meant they up and left. They followed where God took them. And Abraham's descendants, many of them had the same experience. I was reading just this morning, actually, about David, one of Abraham's descendants. David desperately wanted to build a temple for God. And he got a lot of stuff together and did that. But then God said, no, hang on, David. I have other things that I want you to do. I promise you that your family will be great. I promise you that your family and your descendants will be amazing. I promise you an amazing kingship. God made promises to David. And you know what David did? He didn't say, ah, that's not what I had planned. I planned to build a temple. I planned to do this. David didn't. He actually went into God and said, okay, that's what you've promised. That's how I'll live. And I think that's a lesson for all of us. Because back in Abraham's time, Abraham couldn't possibly have seen how it would work out, but he trusted it would. Even in David's time, he couldn't have seen how it would work out, but he trusted that it would. And you can find the story traced through in the writings of Paul to the point where Paul says, yeah, all those people, Abraham and all the others in between, David and all the others, they had a descendant. They had one person. They had a single person that God was working towards, that God had planned. And in that person, all of God's promises come true, and it's in Jesus. Paul puts it in a slightly difficult to understand way. He says, all God's promises get stamped with the yes of Jesus. And because God promised Jesus, because God promised that Jesus would come and deal with our sin, and he did it, that's where we begin our Christian lives. And that's where we live our Christian lives. And that's where we end our Christian lives. All of God's promises have their yes in Christ Jesus. And if Christ Jesus is not in your life, then you are missing out on God's promises. God's promises which are life-giving. God's promises which are life-lasting. And God's promises which are life-shaping. I will stand on every promise of your word.